Hi, my name is Anne-Marie McKelvey, and this is the Mindfulness Coaching Call. Today is the 5th of September, and I am on Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 o'clock here in Michigan, and I'm not in Santa Fe. I'm not on Mountain Time. So I'm in Marquette, Michigan on Lake Superior, and we'll be talking about part of that later in a couple minutes. But I want to just welcome everybody. And what we're going to be doing tonight is really looking at change and the necessity of change. And let's see, where's my little...
Did everyone else mute so we can hear Anne-Marie better? Thank you.
Oh, boy.
And mute. Vicky, I can, okay, you got yourself muted. There you go. So, and if you need to say something, if you just raise your hand, that would be great. Just so that I can kind of get into the rhythm of what's happening here. So I want to share what change is about for me, and I want to hear what change is about for you. What I was just about to say earlier is that this index card has been following me around for years. I keep it in my car on the console. It says, choose the focus. And what that tells me, especially when I forget, which is often, is what focus are you choosing? Because you get to choose your focus. You get to choose what trajectory you're going to be on, what path you're on, how you're thinking. You get to choose all those things. And yes, there are times when we go down the rabbit hole and it just feels like there is no focus except for tears and darkness. And that happens. But then when we can take a breath and downregulate and exhale and remember that we're just exhaling all that's not needed, then we have, there'll be a little bit of a gap. And in that gap, we choose the focus. Okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. In lots of different ways. But I first want everybody to just kind of come in and be here. So let's take a nice deep breath. Close your eyes and inhale. And exhale all that's not needed. Exhale all that is not needed. And then inhale life. Inhale prana. Inhale chi. Inhale that which heals, that which just penetrates your being so that you're feeling that aliveness. And then exhale all that's not needed. And just repeat that. Let yourself just repeat that. Create your own cycle. And I want to encourage you to do this process. Yeah, in and out, in and out. Your own pace, your own rhythm, because this is your life, your own life. Now, it's going to be tempting to write things down. I want to encourage you not to, because this is all being recorded so you can listen to it again. But give yourself the gift of being here. Not the gift of what will I do with this later. Be right here in this moment. There you go. Inhaling and exhaling. And as you're in that space of down regulating, because it takes a little bit, it takes a few minutes, sometimes it can take 2 years, whatever. But in that space, eventually you're going to find a gap. And when you find that gap, what I'd like you to do is ask yourself, what has arisen for me over 3 times that's time for me to do, but I haven't done it? What has arisen for me 3 times, minimum 3 times? It's calling your name. What's arisen for you that's calling your name that you haven't done and just write that down. And this is not about taking out the garbage or hemming a dress or getting maintenance on the car. This is about your life. What would enhance your life? And when you're ready, just look up. So what I'd like to do is, I need to let some people in here. I want to encourage you to introduce yourself and share what your name is, where you're living, and what that thing is. You know, what that, hey, Rachel, it's good to see you. And what that aspect is that has come up three times for you, but you haven't acted on it. Okay. And I'd like you to be lean and lasered, succinct. For those of you who know me, you know, zen it down. No narrative here. Okay. So, Zoe, how about you first, since you were the first one on the call?
Sure. Zoe Ryan. I live near Vancouver, Canada. And change.
What kind of change?
I don't know yet.
If you did know, what would it be?
That's a sneaky coaching question. It's a sneaky.
But you know what it does? Is it goes around your conscious mind into the unconscious. So if you did know, and Cindy Friedman knows, I've been saying this for 20 years. And it's like, it's one of my favorite. I do it to myself. Well, if I did know.
I would, if I did know, I would go deeper with my learning.
Okay. And what would that be? What would that see? So what we're doing, what I'm doing with Zoe is I'm asking her to keep distilling, get real specific, because that's what coaching is about. It's like, we want an agenda that's very specific. So Zoe, I'm going to challenge you to go down deeper. Okay. So for instance, my name's Anne-Marie McKelvey. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's where my home is. Currently, I'm living in Marquette, Michigan, on Lake Superior, going to grad school. And for me, the three things that I heard that I ignored, it wasn't just change. It was three specific things, or three times that I heard this one thing, and it was go to Marquette. And I've been hearing that since April. And finally, a week ago Friday, as I mentioned, you know, on the flyer, things aligned, and I was in the car in 2 hours. I was at Cafe Fina getting some food, and I jetted to Marquette, and I got here in like a little less than 48 hours. I would not recommend that. It took my body a while to get back into, you know, but it was Marquette that came up over three times. And about a month ago, I started playing with the whole idea, this whole idea of three times. Like if I have a thought that comes up for me, and it's at least three times, I got to listen to it and maybe even act on it. So this is an action step. So yes, change is happening, but even going beyond that, what's arisen three times specifically? Now, Beth, what about you? You came on second, and what would be yours? You know, what's your name and where are you from? And what has risen three times for you that's an action that you haven't taken?
So my name is Beth Lewis, and I live in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh. And the three things, I don't even like to say it because I don't want to do it, but quit my job.
Okay. All right, good. So write that down. And Lisha, what's yours? And I'm sorry, you were actually the second person. Not that we have some sort of an award here, but.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisha Scott. I'm very grateful to come to you and be on Hornby Island on the west coast of BC, which is in the traditional territory of the Comox and Pumas.
Zen it down. Zen it down. So what's your name? Where are you from? And what is that thing that came forward at least three times?
My name is Lisha. I'm from Hornby Island, and more physical activity every day.
Okay. All right. Did anything arise that was specific, or was it just sort of physical activity and then you would?
No, it started more general, letting go of unhealthy coping mechanisms for stress and intense emotions. And when you kept talking, what really came up over and over was that, oh yeah, the physical activity every day as a healthy coping mechanism.
Okay, great. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cindy Friedman.
Hello, I'm Cindy Friedman. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Laser. Organize my high holiday music. Just do it. It's coming up and I'm so a little overwhelmed.
So as a coach, what I know about this is that what Cindy just did was she's put together an agenda. She's going to organize her Hyatt holiday music. And Cindy's a cantor in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I've known her for many years. And she texted me earlier. Is this okay if I say this?
Yes. Cindy, yes.
Texted me earlier and she said, do you have a minute or two? And I knew exactly, you know, it's like first part of September, we're moving into that whole high holidays. And this is what happens. And I also know how Cindy does this, you know. So as a coach, when we have long-term clients over the course of years, we start seeing patterns. And what I know about Cindy is that when she has something like three things, one thing arises at least three times, something's going on. And she's percolating and she's very, very creative. And, you know, I could say a whole lot about her, but she's going to come out okay on this because this is part of her creative process. So when we get clear, when the coach gets clear on what's arising for the client, then we can go deeper and deeper. And when we have a long-term client, and friend, I mean, Cindy's also a really good friend, then, you know, we have this perspective, we bear witness, and we get to be able to know, in no uncertain terms, really, that this is probably going to be the outcome. She'll probably have one of the most successful seasons she's had. So, but she needs to be in that space. And so let's keep going. I just wanted to add that, you know, in terms of a coaching piece here. Vicki.
My name is Vicki Roche. I am in New Jersey. And my three things are a healthier lifestyle that includes wellness plan. Wellness plan.
Okay, so you're going to create a wellness plan. Okay, good. Good. Thank you. let's see. Diane, how about you?
Okay. Diane Dreer, Los Gatos, San Francisco Bay Area, California. And I've been repeatedly called to deepen my spiritual practice. So that involves more focused meditation. And also relating my spiritual practice to my writing.
Wait, hold on.
Everything.
So the assignment is, what one thing has come up at least three times that you have not acted on?
Deepen my spiritual practice.
Not specific enough. You and Zoe need to get together.
Okay. more focused time for meditation. morning and evening.
You're getting good. You're doing it. Okay, good. Good. Thank I'll take. Yep. Yep. Thank you. Let's see. Rachel, where are you? There's Rachel. Rachel. Rachel, you need to, there you go.
So you just froze for a second. My name's Rachel Hayward. I'm from Napier, Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. The thing that's come up for me is coaching young people.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Perfect. For someone who arrived a wee bit later than, you know, you spot on. Thank you. And Matt.
Hey, I'm Matt Collier. I'm living in the Orion Spur of the Sagittarius Arb of the Milky Way Galaxy. And what has arisen for me three times is minimalize my kitchen for spaciousness.
Great. Good. Good, 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 good. So think about all of the different comments that you've just heard. And did I miss anybody? I think I got everyone. Think about all the different comments that you just heard. And how your monkey mind took them. So for many of you know that February in Santa Fe, we started having dust storms, horrendous dust storms and winds. March, it accelerated. April, fires came. Anne Marie turned 70. That was a fire and a storm in itself. And the fires lasted for 2 months, más o menos. And then the rains came, the monsoon season finally happened. And now we've been getting rain almost every day, although it's subsiding a bit. But then the flood started. So I love Santa Fe. It's been my home for almost 45 years. And I had no intention of moving, and I think I'm moving because I can't go through another season of fire because it's getting worse and worse each year. So, you know, California and Oregon gets more press time than New Mexico because we're a big state, but we only have 1.5 million people or something in the state. And, but it was pretty bad. And I got really, really sick, as some of you know. So I could just say that. And so I need to find a place. That thought came up more than three times, but it wasn't enough. You know, so it's like, how do I drill down so I get really specific so I can really know where I'm going or what I'm doing? There's a, I heard this new word today. Oh God. Actually, I put it in my notes. I think, I don't know if I want to take time to find it. Hold on just a second though, just in case I can find it quickly. It's such a great word. I don't know if somebody made it up or not. They could have. Okay, here it is. It's called, okay, ready? Get your pens and paper out. Coddywomple. Coddywomple. C-O-D-D-I. Coddywomple. Coddiwomple, coddiwomple. And what it means is to travel in a purposeful manner towards a vague destination. I love it. So I am a coddiwompler. And I think all of us are right now. It's not just me. I'm nobody special. The world is you know, cattywampus, if we wanted to, you know, have another fun word. It's very cattywampus. Climate change is happening. That's why I'm backing. So again, three things came up, or three times, more than three times. The idea of me going back to grad school to do interdisciplinary studies so that I can pretty much do my own curriculum on climate change, ageism, and gender identity, those three things. I want to learn more about that. That came up more than three times. And I kept ignoring it and going, oh, that'd be great. But, you know, I'll just keep reading and I'll keep da-da-da-da. But I couldn't quite get into the research because I didn't have access to some really good research. And then, so there were a lot of things that were circulating in my head, and it all had to do with leaving Santa Fe. I didn't want to leave Santa Fe. And then I started working with this. If I have a thought at least three times, I have to go with it because that means something. And I started playing with that a month ago. And so when things became aligned on Friday of last week, I took off. I trusted it. It was a kind of a gulp, and I trusted it, and I got on the road. It was seamless. It was a great journey, and it's terrific to be up here to Marquette. But it is scary because, like all of us, we're walking in the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what is going to happen in 5 minutes. So how do we work with that unknown as we move into other areas of our lives that we really know that we're supposed to be in? You know, I could have moved to Marquette 6 years ago because I really wanted to, but I didn't do it, and for good reason in many ways. But now I'm here, and things are progressing and some things aren't. But it's like, this is when I really get to utilize mindfulness practices. This is when I really get to utilize, you know, the training of this mind, this monkey mind. And so I can see this as an opportunity for spiritual growth, even though it's really kind of scary sometimes. So I've been playing with curiosity and gratitude a lot, and fear. But gratitude and curiosity are pretty much, they're winning out more often than not. But every so often I think, what am I doing here? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Can somebody give me some breadcrumbs, gluten-free breadcrumbs that I can follow, you know, and know that I'm on the right path, you know, and not like Hansel and Gretel and go to the witch's, you know, cottage or whatever. But all I can do is just keep trusting the moment. So that little piece is really an important part. It's like, if you have a thought more than three times, I would trust that. And then do it, act on it. But get specific, Zoe. Get very specific. And because otherwise, you know, it's like, if you just want to have a wider spirituality base, it could turn out to be kind of like spiritual soup. But it sounds to me more like, you know, you're really wanting to have a specific direction. And so as much as you can, get very specific with that direction, what that would look like. So, you know, when you're there, that you found it. You know, in Zen, we don't necessarily find the answers. In fact, oftentimes on the cushion, we lose the answers. We lose the questions. They disappear, and we're in the moment again. So those answers that we're looking for sometimes don't have questions after a while. So the both of them dissipate. What else do I want to say about that? I think just, I could say a lot here, but I think that index card, choose the focus, is most important. It's trusting what's arising for you personally, not for anybody else, but for you personally, and trusting that and seeing where it's going to lead you. And there's times when, I remember a friend of mine gave birth to a little girl who's now 35, but she just had sort of like the baby just kind of popped out, you know. I, on the other hand, was in labor for 14 hours, and it was an experience. And I would do it again for this young man who I birthed. But it was, you know, we don't know what birthing is going to look like. We don't know what our changing is going to look like. There's going to be times when we're going to be in the bardo. We're kind of between gigs. you know, we've got 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here, but we haven't really got the necessary signal to go in any one direction yet. And that's when mindfulness and meditation really happens. And it's so vital to do because we start getting these intuitive hits. And when we follow those intuitive hits, lots of things open up. I mean, that's how the school started, mindfulness coaching school. I did not have this planned. It all happened on my cushion. I just kept following each day. Sometimes the day would just be a straight on meditation, but then there would also be times when I would be in meditation and all of a sudden I would have this visualization pop up and boom, it was like, okay, that would be kind of fun, you know? And so I would go with it. I would act with it. So again, if you have something come up more than 3 times, act on it. See where it leads you. This is kind of like a no-brainer, but it's also you all are guinea pigs with me because I've never done this with anybody else before. Yeah, so what's anything coming up for you all that you'd like to share? Zoe?
Well, in fact, that exact process is what brought me to the mindfulness coaching school, because I kept referring to the website and more than 3 times, and then finally registered for a class, which I'm doing, and started receiving the emails. I was drawn to it and returned, speaking to your point, and now I'm showing up. So I'm not quite sure what it's all about, but there was a real draw.
Wonderful.
From my cushion.
Uh-huh. Yep. Good. Yeah, there's something about sitting on your cushion. And, you know, and I use that oftentimes as a metaphor. I mean, I sit on my Zafu, although I didn't bring it with me. So I'm sitting on a nice couch. But there's something that happens when we do that, that we start telling the truth to ourselves. You know, it's like who we are is right in front of our face. We can't get away from it. You know, we're sitting now for X amount of minutes or X amount of hours, and this has come up again and again and again. I guess maybe I should deal with it. I guess maybe I should think about it. I guess maybe it's become conscious. So, yeah, amazing things happen on that cushion. Because we tell the truth to ourselves, you know, we tell the truth with what's working in our lives, what's not, what are needs that are being met, what needs aren't being met. And oftentimes when we're truthful to ourselves like that, then we also get those ideas on how we can get our needs met. And sometimes it's not going to be real cushy. You know, to get my needs met, I had to, I think it actually ended up to be 1,900 miles traveling in a car. And I haven't done a trip like that in a while in a car. But the whole trip met my needs. I didn't realize it, but once I got going, it was like, whoa, this is great. So if we can let our life change us, things start shifting. But in order to do that, we need to move away from the familiar. And what's happening in our world today is that we are moving away from the familiar. There's not a lot of familiarity left unless we just sort of stay in our houses and watch Netflix, which I hope you all are not doing. Because the world right now is not necessarily comfortable. There is that unknown piece, but there's also just things that are just shifting a lot. And that's why I want to get back to, you know, my friend Marianne, who teaches at the school, mindful eating, mindful life, talks about having a bird whose one wing is gratitude and the other wing is curiosity. And those two wings help us fly. When we have gratitude and curiosity with us, but we need to, you know, we need to acknowledge it. We need to work with it. And to be able to acknowledge the discomfort and the unknown. And yet, as Leonard Cohen talks about, I love this quote, if I can get it right, that we need to become the ocean. So otherwise, or if we don't become the ocean, we will become seasick in life. And I just love that. It's just great. I paraphrased a little bit. He was always more succinct. But yeah, so if we can become the ocean, and that's what we learn to do when we're sitting on our zafus, when we're sitting on our cushions, we learn how to become the ocean. We learn how to unfold into the ocean, to merge into the ocean of life. And then when life gives us all sorts of things, you know, we're not, you know, and feeling nauseous. It's like we're just moving with the current. Oh, yeah, this and this, right. And now we're being given this. It's neither this nor that, really. It's just this. It's just what is. So change is very important, but we need to remember how to do it. So I asked you each to write down what had been arisen, what had been rising, and you shared that. Now, what would be your action step? What would be your action step? Just consider that. So like for me, one of the things that came up three times was going to Marquette. Just check it out. Maybe it would be a good place to live. I'm not totally sure today if it is, but it might be. But I got here. I listened and I trusted. Grad school was another thing that came up at least three times. And I enrolled actually before I came to Marquette because I could do it remotely. Understanding climate change, ageism, and gender identity, because those are three things that are up in the world big time right now. I wanted to understand it more and not from a sensationalistic viewpoint. I want to get beyond that stuff. I want to, you know, really kind of, wow, so, okay, this is happening. The planet's changing. My body's changing too. You know, it's like, what else is changing? And is it that dire? Or do we just need to make preventative? You know, it's like, I wanted to learn more and get past the ain't it awful stuff. So I did that. So all you have to do is just take one of your things that have come up three times. And I'd like you to share what action you're going to take. So just think about that. What are you going to take? And it could be, you know, like some of you were very, very specific, and it could be like for Cindy, you know, when are you going to organize your music? So just popcorn it, just pop in and just tell us succinctly.
I have one. Uh-huh. I actually did it today. It is, wellness, creating a wellness weekly calendar.
Okay. And when do you want to do that?
I did it this morning.
Okay, good.
I actually just did it this morning because it was haunting me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Great, thank you. I just want to... El Medina, no, we can't see you. I just saw your questions. Anybody else? Yes, Lisha.
In my morning meditation, I will pay attention to my body's needs and make a commitment to do something, to act on that need every day.
Good. And how are you going to remind yourself? How will you do that so you're not going to be unconscious?
I'll put it on my fridge. I have a way of reminding myself with little ladybug magnets. I'll make a ladybug magnet thing. Yeah.
Good. Good. Thank you. Who else? And everybody doesn't have to share, but I just wanted to. Okay. All right. And sometimes when we're walking in the unknown, and some of you are being very specific with what you're going to be doing, and sometimes we can be specific, but it's not time yet to have what we thought was going to manifest. And so what do we do then? What do you all do while you're biding your time? Not to be confused with President Biden. Yes, Zoe.
Appreciate the pause.
Mm-hmm.
Allow that time and space of not knowing without feeling flustered or needing to put any objectiveness to it, if that makes sense. Having a container of not knowing with acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's funny how we can use those words, but when we live into them, it's a whole other piece. It's like the words almost, it's like as you were talking, I was thinking that the words almost become radiant. You know, they're energetic because they really do kind of encompass our lives. You know, they take over. So if I'm wanting to accept what's happening while things aren't happening, if I want to accept the happeningness of nothingness, just waiting, then wow, so many lessons are given us. And if I can just take a breath, exhale, and know that what life is giving me right now is exactly what I need, and trust. That still while doing action steps. Still while doing action steps. Yeah. Good. Thank you. My son has a quote. Let me see if I can find it. Where's my notes? Okay, here it is. To act and follow your highest excitement to the best of your ability in every given moment, no matter the outcome, and with no expectations of the outcome, and then to do this forever. Ooh, just wanted to share that one. There's lots here. Pema Chodron, what I'm going to be sharing with you are just some quotes that I've been playing with over the last bit of time here. El Medina apparently can't talk, but she says that she'll work on something else and allow the divine time to occur. It's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. This is a Pema Chodron quote. Come back to square one, just the minimum bare bones, relaxing with the present moment, relaxing with hopelessness, relaxing with death. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken any retreats with Pema, but by the time she gets into that far into something that's pretty heady, she'll start giggling because it's really difficult to do. You know, it's like so relaxing with the present moment. Okay, yeah, that, yeah. Relaxing with hopelessness. Relaxing with death. Not resisting the fact that things end. And then she'll start giggling. And that things have no lasting substance, that things pass, that everything is changing all the time. That is the basic message. So we can just stay in the place where we're at right now and change with what's going on. Or we can kind of have a foresight or an intuitive hit that maybe it's time to shift a little bit. And there are people more and more, known as climate refugees that are finding new places to live as a result of what's been happening in their world, in their environment. And oftentimes, when people are in their 70s and 80s, they're hanging out in the same place that they've been living in because it's comfortable. It's their home. They've been here forever. So what I want to study is what happens when you're in your 70s and 80s and it's time to move for health reasons, because you can only handle so much smoke, so many fires, so many dust storms. So what happens? And also with ageism, there are many of us that have chosen to maybe not get married, or to not have grandchildren, or. And so that Norman Rockwell life is not something that we even identify with. And so that too is different. That too brings about a change. And how do we work with that? You know, where is our family? Is it just our bloodline, or is it more than that? And so our school is a place, you know, where people come together in community and they get to know each other and they talk to each other and they connect, and we help each other up level our energetic fields. It's so important right now. Anybody have any comments? We've got about 19 minutes. I could move into a coaching session where we could just kind of open it up and talk. Any questions or comments?
Really, I really came to the call wanting to know what you were up to. That's in all total honesty. I just really needed to know where you were and what was going on with you. So I'm really glad I came.
Oh, good. Well, I'm enjoying grad school. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'm about 50 years older, 52 years older than everybody else. But it's fascinating because, you know, I look at people. I'm in two classes and I'm going full time. And I look at people and I'm hanging out with them and I think that I look like them. And then I get back to, you know, my place and I look in the mirror and go, whoa, this is what they're seeing. I wonder what kind of ideas they have about me, you know, based on the fact that I'm old, much older than they are. So anyway, it's an interesting gig, but I like it. And I'm just loving, you know, my professor is 36. And he's so knowledgeable. He's so knowledgeable and he's so sweet. You know, so I haven't had to use the age card yet, but I may. So yeah, that's what I'm up to. Yeah, exploring big time. Yeah. And remembering also, you know, I think that the pandemic, you know, this quarantine business, in many ways, we had a good time because we had three people. There were five of us all together quarantining. We were a quarantine pod for a year and a half, 2 years, and we did have a good time. We really worked at having a good time. But now that it's over, you know, and I'm just, there's this antsiness in me, and there's also a fear because COVID continues. It's changing, you know, it's the unknown. There's a different variance. I mean, it's like, and so is it okay to travel? Is it okay to, you know, go to places where you don't know people? Is it okay to meet with strangers? Is it okay to hug people that, you know, you don't really know what their background is because you just met them and maybe their granddaughter, you know, maybe that cold that she has isn't a cold, it's COVID, and this is her first week. It's like all those kinds of things happen, but that's life. And I think that we've sort of forgotten about that. So I encourage all of you to step outside your comfy homes, step outside your town, your village, your city, and see what's out there, because it's pretty sweet. You know, this, it's like when you're traveling, there are no purple states or red states or blue states. It's just a lot of nice people that are just wanting to be helpful. I was in Dubuque, Iowa, and I was trying to find a place to stay because I'd slept in my car the night before because I left early, or I left at 3:30 from Santa Fe. So I found myself in Colby, Kansas, like at 1 o'clock in the morning. And there's like nothing open in Kansas after apparently nine. And so I slept in a parking lot near a Tesla charging station. And I didn't want to do that again. It wasn't comfortable. So I was in Dubuque, Iowa, and I was trying to find a place. There was nothing. They were having a big deal that night on a Saturday night. And this woman just came over and she said, you know, it looks like you're looking for something and you're from New Mexico. Welcome. And she just got her iPhone out and she just, for 10 minutes, she was calling people and said, you know, da, 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 da. And she found a place for me to stay. And I said, you just really went beyond the call of duty here. And she said, that's how we are in Iowa. That's how we are in Iowa. And I just started thinking about, you know, the niceties that we experience when we're traveling that we need to get back to. So I just really want to encourage everybody to get in your car. Don't go on the airplane. Forget the airplane. There's a lot of gobbledygook going on over there right now. And it's not comfortable in many ways, but get in your car and just go and see what happens. See who you meet at gas stations and at restaurants and going for a hike up in the mountains on a Sugarloaf Mountain or a Hogsback Mountain. I think that we need to do that. And then we can love each other up. That's my little story. Sorry, I kind of got a little bit involved there. Anybody have anything that they want to say? Oh, Cindy, you've got your hand up, and then Rachel.
Yeah, my hand's been up for, because how did you know about Marquette? I've never heard of Marquette. So how did you even know that that would be a place for you?
When I was in college, I got accepted to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and Northern Michigan University in Marquette, Michigan. And they're very different from each other. And I was all about Lake Superior. So this is where I went to school. This is where I did my undergraduate work.
It's something, a place you were already familiar with. It.
And then I've got really good friends. I've got really close friends that we've kept in touch with each other since I was 18. Yeah. So it would be an easy move. It's sort of, I say that, but you know, easy is not the right word. I would be able to come in I've come in and it's like, I just feel like I'm back. So, yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Rachel. I'm sorry, Rachel.
That's all right. I thought it was quite ironic that you mentioned getting in your car and going traveling around the place. I think that's the third time I've heard that this week. I just thought I'd share that back with you, thinking there's something to be said there. So yeah.
Good. Do it. It doesn't have to be. You know, you don't have to go overnight. Even. I mean, just. Move. Yeah. Yes, Diane.
What I'm getting is that when we're going through changes, and there's no one I know that has not been, given all the COVID, you know, stuff going on, we feel very anxious, very insecure, and very often very alone. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the gratitude and, gratitude and curiosity, I would like to say that community, connecting with others, like that woman in Iowa, making us aware that we're not alone, we're part of a larger community. That really helps. And yeah. I've been experiencing that, right here, but also with some of my friends who are also going through changes. Mm-hmm. We support each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right. And I think we need to just start doing that, you know, purposely, mm-hmm. not sort of like, well, I just ran into that, but purposely. Looking for those things to do. Yeah. Yeah, good. Thank you, Diane. The connected, well, that's the other piece I've got. So I have choose the focus. Remember what your focus is. But then I also have another card, which is connect. And yeah. So it's these two cards that I've been hanging out with. This is a little bit more metaphysical because of the diagram. But anyway, so alchemical. Kind of thing. So anything else? Vicky?
Connect. I was going to, so I was feeling very disconnected, just saying more about what Diane was referring to. And I couldn't keep my mouth shut because I was feeling so disconnected from everyone in my life. And friends of mine invited me up to Lake George. There were four women that were invited up to Lake George, and we got together, and it was friends, but it became like a retreat almost, because each of us, the theme was the lack of connectedness. And each of us, there's seven of us that talked about the same, that wasn't the same thing, but it was the same theme, the lack of connectedness and how hurtful it was. And then what could we do about it? So I just wanted to add that I think connection is right on, you know, it's just so important. Yeah.
And thanks for like underlying, you know, highlighting that again, because there's many different ways to connect. There's different aspects of connection. There's the connection that we have with ourselves. There's the connection we have with spirit. There's the connection that we have with strangers, with our loved ones, with, you know, there's all sorts of connections, but there's also another connection I think that's really an important piece. And that's if we find ourselves in a situation where we may be more fortunate than another person, to somehow connect with that person, be it volunteer work, but some sort of altruistic kind of thing, not because we're better than they are, or we might have more money than they have, you know, or more power or whatever. But, you know, there's a wonderful woman who unfortunately died, I think it was last winter in December, maybe. Her name is Bell Hooks. And she's a Buddhist practitioner, but her real claim to fame is she writes about women, and she writes about racism. She writes about those people who are marginalized, basically, and who aren't represented. And I'm reading them for part of my research, my graduate studies. I'm reading this article that she wrote about Betty Friedan, who wrote The Feminine Mystique, and back in 1963, I think. And anyway, it's all about white women who are bored at home. They want a job. They can't get a job. They're not getting enough payment. Da, 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 da. And she, in many different ways, she speaks as though she is representing all women. And what Bell Hooks comes about, and her message is that, no, she's not representing all women. She's not representing the women that are really needing help. That really, that you know, it's like to get a job is, that's not it. It's to be able to get out of a culture that is oppressive. And the physicality is different. So as women, so anyway, I'm actually giving my first presentation for my graduate work is tomorrow, and this is part of the talk. But the bottom line is that we need to be able to like come together, as Vicky did with her three friends, but then take that energy and expand it and connect in other ways also. You know, love people up. And that's pretty much what I'm coming down to, is how much love and kindness is important in just any kind of connection. So in the mentor coaching group that we do, part of the class is to do a minimum of 5 hours of altruistic work in coaching. And it's to be able to get out and share what we have, you know, share our energies and not restrict them to just a certain type of class, a certain type of group, a certain tribe, all those things. It's to get out there and spread it. And that's why I want to encourage everybody to get on the road, even if it's for 3 hours. Just get out there and rub elbows with people. 6 minutes and counting. What else? Yes, Cindy.
So you've shared so personally, so I'm curious, have you given up coaching while you're a student?
Oh, no. No, just another hat. Just another hat. And then I also have the cross-eyed hat when I'm going, what am I doing? No, but I did coaching earlier today with about 3 or 4 people. Yeah. And Mac has taken over the school. He's directing it, my son. So that's really good. I guess I should say something about, I can hear him whispering in my ear. So classes at the school are starting this week. And if you're ready to, and you haven't signed up, if you've had the thought of signing up 3 times, there you go sign up. And we've got some really good classes. There's quite a few starting this week. And then there's another batch starting in October. I recommend all of them. I think our faculty is so good. You know, people are saying, how come you're not teaching anymore? And it's like, cause I have better teachers than me at this school. So, it's, you know, we have a terrific faculty, and I think that many of you know that and can attest to it. So, if you have any questions, Mac Dryden would be the person to call. His phone number is 505-316-6726. That's his direct line. And yeah, he's a sweet pea. That's all I got. Anything else that you all have? Okay, so what are you taking away? Matt Collier, what are you taking away?
I really enjoyed this session. Thank you for presenting it and having us here. I love that part about just loving each other up, getting out there volunteering and doing things. Yeah. To me, that seems to be a fundamental basis, something that's driven me for a large part of my life and has driven changes in my life that were sometimes painful, moving towards love. And I love that. I love that concept. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. It's good to see you. Glad we had our connection yesterday. That was good. Time and space is just an illusion. Zoe, what about you? What are you taking away?
I'm taking away new connections, love meeting new people and being in shared space. Hornby Island's one of my favorite places in the world. So Alicia, hearing that that's where you're from. And look forward to deepening relationships with the Mindfulness Coaching School.
Good, good. Glad you're here. Yeah. Yeah, good. Rachel, Ms. New Zealand.
I'm taking away 2 things. One is the fact that, ironically, one of the people that's been, I'm connecting with somebody in the Netherlands who I knew when I was traveling with to do some coaching with her while she was at grad school. So oddly enough, to be giving her feedback as part of her learning, which is quite an exciting opportunity. So I'm looking forward to that. Secondly, I'm looking forward to the somatic coaching that's starting next week.
Body Electric.
Body Electric, and I'm hitting the road because I am in my car. So
no, I'm doing
some other things.
Just take off, Rachel. Just go. Go, girl. You're going to love Yale. This is my first. Yeah, she's taken over for me. So it's a great class. You're going to like it. Yeah. And Diane.
I just realized that when I'm going through a lot of changes, and my volunteer work is Tikkun Olam, which is part of my, you know, background is repairing the world, but we're all called to use our gifts to make a positive difference in the world. And when I do that, I feel really connected. And, you know, I don't feel alone. I don't feel stressed. I just feel really, you know, right on target.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's why in 12-step work, you know, it's so important to volunteer your time, you know, be a sponsor, make coffee. You know, it's like giving out, and it's, you know, we get out of ourselves. Yeah. Good. Thanks. And Lisha, where are you? There you are. Okay. Lisha, sorry.
What keeps popping up is this Khalil Gibran poem called Fear, which is about the river, that we are the river flowing past the mountains and towns, and the resistance that we feel to merging with the ocean or disappearing into the ocean, when in fact we just become the ocean. And I'm going to go look up the poem, because it's been just everything that you've said ties together so nicely in those words.
If you would send it to me at skycollage@gmail.com.
Sure.
skycollage@gmail.com. That would be great. I'd love, so maybe, yeah, it's sort of the Leonard Cohen thing about be the ocean, otherwise you're going to get seasick.
Yeah, I bet that's where he got it from. It sounds like, yeah.
So Ms. Cindy, and then Vicki.
I'm taking away a recognition that I'm searching for the metaphor of getting in your car, because I'm recovering from an injury this summer, and sitting in a car is the most painful thing I could possibly do. So that's not for me. So I'm going to metaphorically find what need is that associated with. And I'm also recognized that I've been working really hard, really hard. And there have been huge challenges in our community. And it just sort of came to me, oh my God, I have really, really caring a lot for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to know. Yeah. And realize, and then act on, you know, how can you love yourself up? How can you have a spirit opener within yourself? Because you do, you give a lot in what you do. Yeah, thank you. It's so good to see you. Vicki.
I think that the altruistic connection really resonates with me in terms of there are a lot of people that are suffering, both clients and non-clients and people in the community. So I see that theme playing out, and there are an awful lot of clients that can't even afford services. And I have to figure out, I'm figuring out what to do about that, because I feel like I need to address it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you're going to get benefits from it. It's amazing what happens when we give out. Great. Thank you. And I think we heard from everybody. So I'm going to put in chat. This is who I've been, I think I spoke about them last month, but there's a group, and Zoe, you might know it because you're from the Bay Area. Mamuse. Have you ever heard of Mamuse? MAMUSE.
I'm actually from Vancouver, Canada, so no.
Why did I think you were from the Bay Area?
I don't know.
Because you've got that Canadian accent. That's not a, who's from the Bay Area? Ah, Diane. No, this group called Mamuse. It's two women. They do a lot of acapella. And there's two songs I love. And I listen to them in first thing in the morning and sometimes a couple times during the day. So it's Mamuse. The first one is called Glorious. And the second song is called We Shall Be Known. We Shall Be Known. That's it, Mamuse.
M-A-M-U-S-E.
And then it's M-A-M-U-S-E. And Glorious is the first song. We Shall Be Known is the second. Actually, most all their songs are terrific. They're great to like walk to, you know, and do your biking or whatever. But they're songs that really help us connect with ourselves. So. Okay, I've kept you all 4 minutes longer than I should have. I want to respect your time. So a deep bow to each of you. And thanks so much for being here. It's good to see my homies. Yeah, Thank you. Bye.